Welcome back to a freshly squeezed episode of the Flowscape podcast. Spencer is yawning. We're here. We're back. Episode 32. Spencer, what's going on? How are things in Oregon?
Well, I'm going to start off with a thing on the list of things that should be illegal, and it's 11:05 adult league games.
That is why I don't play adult league. I get asked all the time to sub or to hey, can you play this season? My one excuse used to be no, because if you fight in an adult league and you're a USA and you're a registered USA hockey coach, they also suspend you from coaching as well, and that's just a recipe for disaster.
Oh, I didn't
for me.
Know that.
Yep. So that's that was my biggest reason for not doing it, because that, as we all know, the wires do cross, especially in something like that with me, and that just would not be good. But now that I'm not coaching anymore, that my new excuse is I'm not playing ice hockey at all. Roller hockey at 10 o'clock is different. I can do that. It's less equipment. It's a shorter game. It's, you know what I mean? It's less of a pain in the ass. Ice hockey, a men's league at 11 o'clock can suck it.
I'm pretty sure I left the rink last night at 1 a.m.
That's
so
fucked
I'm
up.
I'm dragging a little bit. But yeah, the sun's out. Golf season's around the corner. I could use a little more coffee. But other than that, we're hanging in there over
That's
here.
Fucked up. My dad plays. My mom hates it. My dad plays in like three different men's leagues. She may have made him cut back. He may only be in one or two now. But he will. I'll ask him. I'll be like, what time did you? Like, he won't have games until 11:45. Like, his games will start at 11:45, and he gets up at like 5:30 to go to work, 5 o'clock to go to work. It's fucking
stupid.
Insane.
Yeah, no,
you're right. That should be illegal. Those people should be put in jail. And here's the other thing. I don't think they have to schedule games that late. I don't know why they. There's no way rinks are that busy all day long to where the only times they can do it's 11.
Yeah, the prime time ice time goes to the kids, and I kind of understand it sometimes. But in that same breath, there's no way I need to play at 11.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. 10 o'clock for roller hockey, for me, now that I live 35 minutes from the roller rink, is kind of pushing it. That makes it hard, but again, it's roller hockey. Yeah, it's not too bad. But we were talking earlier. I'm going to the Stars game tonight. They play the Devils. I'll be in a suite. Shout out to Super Deeker. I'll be in a suite with a bunch of guys from FedEx and Super Deeker.
Nice.
We'll see. Hopefully the Stars just absolutely shit pump the Devils. That would be great. They need that after giving up Florida. Florida's good. That comeback was good. That was similar to the Avs comeback last night on Vancouver. Vancouver thought they had that one in the bag. The Stars thought they had that one in the bag. And both teams forgot that they were playing one of the better teams in the NHL alongside of them. And it was like, oh, that's how quickly things can change. So it just goes to show you.
Florida's nasty.
It just goes to show you all of the top six teams in the NHL right now, when it comes down to the playoffs, nobody is safe in any game with any lead. It doesn't matter if you're the Avs up 4-0, 3-0 on the Stars. It doesn't matter if you're the Stars up 3 or 4-0 on Vancouver. It doesn't matter if you're Vancouver, obviously, like last night, up 3-0 on the Avs. Anybody can just fucking come back and pump 4-0 on you really, really quick. So that was a crazy game last night. I kept going back and forth between that and the others, and then all of a sudden that was like, what? It's tied. But yeah, hopefully Stars get a good win tonight. We're just going to get right into it. The kid crossed the line. Matt Rempe, we kind of mushed him. We were pumping his tires.
Spicy Buffalo wig.
I think the last episode either came out like the day of or the day after or the day. It was literally such perfect mush timing. So Matt Rempe, as soon as we give him shout outs and pump his tires for just going through the gauntlet of heavyweights and really kind of playing on the edge, but not really crossing the line yet. The Yabushkin hit was close, but I still think it was a good hit. Then the other night, Siegenthaler on New Jersey goes to pull up, which we will get into. He goes to pull up, and Rempe, instead of just kind of eating the boards and missing his hit, gives them the old Buffalo Wild Wings elbow to the jaw, and he got himself a 4-game sussy, which is unfortunate, because let me ask you this. Do you think this now takes his chances away at playing in the playoffs?
not with who he plays for. I think with Laviolette there, he's kind of like, okay, here's your lesson. Learn it. We still need you for the playoffs. Don't be a jackass. But just don't throw around the spicy buffalo wing anymore.
He didn't offer any ranch. There was no celery, no carrots offered. He didn't offer anything for the heat.
Spicy.
He just gave him the hottest chicken wing you could. Else. Yeah. Here's the thing. He either learns from it or he doesn't. So now, and the unfortunate thing for him is he doesn't have to, but he wouldn't fight McDermott. The whole reason New Jersey signed McDermott, obviously, was to kind of combat that, and he wouldn't fight him. And then after that, he goes out and does that. So he's gonna have to answer for that. Especially next time they play.
McDermott called him out like straight up.
Yeah, he's gonna have to answer the bell for that. And then after that, he's gonna have to chill out. But I do think he can be a factor in playoffs, and I do think he brings a presence in the playoffs because he is such a good skater and he closes the gaps so well. You're right that Laviolette is more of a player's coach, and I think he does give him a shot. Hopefully that doesn't fuck him. You know who fucked us was Jake Guentzel.
I think I put down my phone. I looked up and it says Guentzel's going too. And I was like, I'm sorry. Who?
Yeah. So we last episode and on every other hockey podcast in the world, it's been highly speculated. Jake Guentzel was going to, Vancouver. And then it became, who did it become after that?
The Rangers.
And it was like the Rangers one was like multiple, like Dave Pagnotta basically said it was a done deal. And that's essentially what we talked about last episode was that Jake Guentzel was essentially going to be a Rangers and what did that look like? Blah, 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 blah. Literally, like I swear to God, 4 hours we got done recording, he fucking came back and signed with Carolina out of absolutely nowhere. Nobody that I saw was actually like reporting that he was actually in the works going to Carolina. Did you see anything like that?
Carolina, nowhere. Rod the Bod came from the top ropes and just swooped some little bamboozling on everybody. And and then the second it happened, I was like, oh, that's a good trade.
And then they picked up Kuznetsov, he's buzzing. He's already like he clearly just needed to get the fuck out of Washington, but they're buzzing. Yeah, they're good. Jake Guentzel, great pickup for them. Now here's the thing: do they sign him long term?
If they've got the space, I definitely think they would try.
Or is he a New York Ranger or Vancouver Canuck just next year?
I don't know. I definitely think he's got a few more good years on him, so somebody's going to look to sign him. But I think they like to keep him there. Rod doesn't seem like a rental kind of guy. It more seems like you're going to come into the room and be in the room for a second.
No, I'm pretty fairly certain Rod and upper management, specifically their upper management, they hate rental players. Like it's pretty known, like they're not into rental players. Now, the only thing that I would say is how far do they go? They get bounced in the first round. He gets offered even more money somewhere else. I could see that being a situation. But if they go to the Eastern Conference Finals and he's right there pushing for another Stanley Cup, which he obviously really, really wants because that's one of the reasons of getting out of Pittsburgh, then I 100% see them resigning him. So, I mean,
based on their moves, I'm putting them in the Eastern Conference final. So,
yeah, but I'm kind of mad at him right now because he fucking pigeon tossed just everybody on that. Everybody on that. Now, speaking of pigeon tossing, Atlanta has pigeon tossed two teams previously. They have pigeon tossed the Flames and they have pigeon tossed the Thrashers. Now, today on ESPN, the Atlanta franchise a fucking expansion franchise for Atlanta's application has been submitted by the Alpharetta Sports and Entertainment Group, which is backed and fronted by Anson Carter. I understand the want and potentially the need for a team in that market if you want to grow the game and you want to grow the game in a diverse way. But the problem is this would be the third fucking time they've tried to do this. What guarantee is the third? What incentive does the NHL have to try for a third time in a city when there's other viable options for them to expand to, like Salt Lake City, like Houston, like Quebec City? Like those three places seem way more obvious to me and way more logical sense than to try a third time in Atlanta, unless you're going to add two teams. But if you're going to add two teams, two of those three options sound better to me. So Spencer, what is the deal with Atlanta? Why do we keep pushing Atlanta? And do you see a third time in Atlanta actually being like the third time's a charm? Like,
I think the first two times they were there, they were severely set up to fail. The expansion drafts were not what they were today. So I think their teams were so bad in a market that, like, hockey in the South when the Thrashers around is not what hockey in the South is now. You look at some of these club programs, like, I mean, I guess Clemson's not really South-South, but like Alabama and all these college programs popping up. Like, there is an appetite, I think, for hockey in the South now. I'm not saying it should go to Atlanta. I do think it would be weird to see a third team go there, especially when we're seeing like the kind of the same issues in Winnipeg that we saw when they were there the last time with attendance issues. So I don't really like the idea of Atlanta. I get it. It's definitely going to expand the game into a market that we severely need in probably a minority hockey fan. But like, I think Houston could also kind of get that same demographic that they're kind of going after in Atlanta. So I don't know. I Salt Lake City to me makes the most sense. I do think it's a two-team expansion at this point because the East and West both have the same number of teams. So I think if they're going to add teams, they're going to add two teams. Atlanta does not make sense to me. It only makes sense to me because TNT's there.
Yeah, I forgot. So that's a great point that a couple other people have pointed out. That's a major factor. And a major factor in that is
working on TNT. Like, I don't think anybody's going to argue that the NHL is absolutely working on TNT.
The NHL being a mix of TNT and ESPN is fucking fantastic. If ESPN could just if the NHL and ESPN could just learn how to work together as far as like getting their apps to work correctly, that would be even better. But as far as the on TV product with Bucci and those guys, when they do the occasional ESPN like Thursday night hockey game, it's fucking awesome. And the Wednesday night TNT broadcast is also fantastic. Both panels are really good. You get a little bit of the older mix on Thursdays on the ESPN broadcast as far as the panels with Chelios and Messier, and you get that kind of the old school opinions. And then you kind of get the new wave and a good mix on Wednesday nights with TNT. So I think you are correct in that is working. Why the fuck would they change that? There's no reason for them to change that. I love it. The point of at TNT, the studio being in Atlanta, and I don't know if this has anything to do with it either, but Anson Carter is on the TNT panel. He's also head of and fronting the group that is wanting to bring a franchise to Atlanta. But I think as far as availability and broadcastability, that makes a lot of sense. Now, I don't know exactly. I'm a dumbass, so I'm not exactly sure as far as like how does like money, like who profits the most, like does TNT, like how much does TNT profit off that being a franchise in how much does TNT profit off an Atlanta franchise, and how much does the NHL profit off there? Because they both have to be double dipping. There's got to be some kind of crossover there for them to, like, you know what I mean? So I would be interested to see like those numbers. But that makes a lot of sense. Here's the only thing is it's the third fucking time. Now, I'll agree with you that they necessarily weren't set up for success like expansion teams are set up for success now, but they made the playoffs.
Yeah, I'd rather see them somewhere else. Like you said, there's so many better options than try there a third time, but we tried Winnipeg again, and look, that's failing too. So I think, you know, let's move Arizona to Seattle or to Salt Lake, not Seattle. Seattle already has a team. But let's move Arizona to Salt Lake. You can put a team in Houston, and then you probably stick a team up there in Western Canada somewhere so they're, those people are happy.
So, okay, so let's – what if they did this? What if they did this? What if they moved Arizona to Salt Lake City? They gave Houston and Atlanta both an expansion team. Atlanta plays in the East. Houston plays in the Central.
I don't know.
So the only only team you're leaving out is Quebec City, and then obviously Arizona doesn't have a team anymore.
I mean, it probably makes the if that happened, the NHL would be stronger, in my opinion. Yeah,
like Atlanta.
I don't know if I like it.
Atlanta would play in the Atlantic. With Florida and Tampa and Boston and Detroit, yeah,
it makes sense. Texas is definitely big enough to have two teams if California has three.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so
Florida has two. New York has two. I think Texas could have two.
Let's go back to Winnipeg. 2 years from now, because it's too soon. Like here's the thing. Like, people are freaking out about Winnipeg, like they're going to get relocated. Ladies and gentlemen, it has taken the NHL so fucking long to even entertain now the fact that they could possibly move Arizona. There's so much leeway. Given the NHL will take the team over for years and years before they actually relocate a team again that they've already relocated from and to before. If those words make any sense, from and to before, meaning they moved a team from Atlanta, they killed a franchise there, to move them to Winnipeg, who already had a franchise that was killed, to then kill the franchise that you moved Atlanta to kill a franchise to then kill the franchise in Winnipeg. It doesn't make
sense. Say kill a franchise one more time.
Exactly, but that's the point, right? Like, the NHL gives these teams so much fucking leeway and so much fucking help. Eventually, they just take them over. The team will be in Winnipeg for at least 5 more years. There's just no getting away. The NHL is not going to let that team leave Winnipeg like that. Based on how they've handled the Arizona situation, which, if everybody wants to fucking think about, they owned that team for so fucking long before whoever owned Morello and Gutierrez, whoever actually owns it now, stepped in to buy it. The NHL owned them for a really long time for the point of not relocating them. That's the whole point of the NHL owning and taking over the franchise and overseeing the budget and overseeing the money, is so that they can still make it a viable, financially viable situation where they are. So Winnipeg's not going anywhere anytime soon. But 5 years from now, if the attendance and the issues that they're still seeing are the same, we're potentially looking at another failed franchise in a city that already had a franchise failed and already got a team moved to there, which is fucking crazy. It's crazy. And it's the NHL's fucking fault. And this is kind of going off script a little bit, but I'm starting to realize all of these problems come from the NHL not knowing how to market its own game. And it's bullshit. And it's killing the product, and it's killing the league, and it's killing these franchises. It's any joke. Like, I sit here and call myself a dumbass. They could make me head of marketing for the NHL, and I guarantee you I could have more people in this world interested in their fucking product in less than a day than whatever fucking guys or women they're paying millions and millions of dollars to do jack fucking shit in marketing their product. And that's the God's honest truth. And that's why these franchises keep failing over and over and over again, because the NHL sucks at marketing their own product. They do it year in and year out with these stupid global series that they think are going to just kill the bank and just do wonders for their financial bankroll and all this other shit, when there's so many other things that they could do. There's so many other markets they could enter. There's so many other things that they could do to help grow the game that they know they could do, that everybody around sees, and they do absolutely nothing for it. And that is what eventually is going to kill these franchises that have died before. And it's bullshit, and it's the NHL's fault. So there's my soapbox. There's my rant. You can agree, disagree, but that I think in the end, it is the NHL taking the revolver, spinning the thing, and just going, okay, which foot do I want to try to shoot myself in?
Yeah, I think the NHL could do a way better job to prop their players up. I think they don't do nearly enough to give their players a voice, or Well, you look at like someone like Connor Bedard right now, who actually does have a personality. You see it in these hilarious little clips of him talking to Foligno on the bench. So why can't, like, why aren't we seeing this kid
more? Where's the mic'd up? Where's the mic'd up? And not and not the small little clips that the teams put out on YouTube, like of practice. Where's like the NHL? Where's that mic'd up? Here's the other thing. Here's the other shit that I don't get. And this is where the easy marketing, if you're not a moron, where this is so easy, right? So you've got BioSteel, who's filed for bankruptcy. I don't give a fuck what they're doing now. If they're trying to fix things, if they resold and they're coming, they haven't made payments. They went into bankruptcy. You picked them over Gatorade. You picked them over Gatorade. I'll say it again. Gatorade. You picked them over Gatorade, and they filed for bankruptcy in less than a year into the fucking 2 years into the deal. Now here's what I'm talking about, the marketing. So Austin Matthews, right? Connor McDavid used to be with BioSteel, is no longer with BioSteel. Okay. Austin Matthews, okay, whether you like Logan Paul and whether you like the Paul brothers and whether you like the YouTube thing, right? Austin Matthews is a official prime, like that's his like sports drink, right? If the NHL were smart, they would sign that deal. Because I guarantee you that Prime and Logan Paul and that company as a whole have the fucking checks to write, because they're all over UFC. They have the checks to write. And what you're doing is you're now merging a marketing campaign between your number one American-born player and the official drink of your league. It's two in the same. So now you're pulling, now you're double dipping on both of those aspects of it. Now, can you get Connor McDavid? Now you send an NHL prime rep to Connor McDavid and say, hey, I know you were really big into BioSteel. We're sorry it didn't work out. Would you be interested in becoming a prime athlete? There's no way prime would want Connor McDavid as an athlete as well, right? Now it's simple shit like that, there's no reason for BioSteel to still be in the fucking penalty box of the NHL. There's zero reason for it. And it's small things like that that people would go, well, why does that matter? It fucking does. And it's simple shit. And it's simple marketing to where you could, like I said, take a prime campaign and take Austin Matthews and merge the two and just run it and run it and run it and run it and run it. And every prime bottle, every Austin Matthews flavored prime bottle that's sold is money in the NHL's pocket. I mean, how fucking easy is it? And it's their own fault. So like you said, like I said, that's my rant. Like you said, it's simple stuff, like as far as not marketing their own star players better, like Connor Bedard, like Austin Matthews, like Connor McDavid. So it is what it is. I mean, it's kind of getting me rattled a little bit. Okay. So this is crazy.
Speaking of rattling.
Yeah, that's a great transition. Somebody is rattling down the road with thousands and thousands of Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads because what the fuck?
Do you think they know what they took?
100%. They had to have known. So the Pittsburgh Penguins are still going to have had to postpone the Jaromir Jagr bobblehead night at their stadium because somebody stole all the Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads. So somebody is driving down
thousands
of the same bobblehead. Like,
oh yeah.
Here's my thought.
Resurface somewhere. That's
my thought process. They weren't really, so it's not like they were released and then somebody stole already released. These weren't out yet. So the minute anybody tries to sell one of these, it's going to come up like the quickest red flag ever. This is a very weird scheme, very weird robbery scheme.
Disgruntled Penguins fan that's so mad at what the franchise is doing. They said nobody gets bobbleheads.
I need to write a movie script to this, or if somebody beats me to the punch, like Jared Kiso, I'll give him credit. That would be funny. This needs to be made into a movie. Like
Sidney Crosby took them because they traded Jake Etzel.
Just this needs to be made into a movie. And again, I'm gonna try. I may try to actually write a script for this. If somebody beats me to the punch, more power to them. If one of the 20 of the people that listen to this podcast hear this and want to beat me to the punch, there needs to be a script about just four dumbasses who come up with a scheme to get rich off of stealing the Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads on Pittsburgh Penguins
it's
night.
It's the traveling Jagrs. It's,
yeah, that's what I get it. That, and so that needs to be part of it, meaning like those guys need to dress up. Like their costume to steal the bobbleheads is the traveling Jagrs, and they get through security somehow by being, you know what I mean? Like it's a whole goddamn script that could be written for this, but it needs to be done. I don't care who does it. I could do it. I'll do it. I'll get on it. If somebody beats me to the punch, Jared Kiso, that's fine. Just cast me in it. I'm a good actor. I'll help write. I'll clip this for you. I'll tag you in this, but this needs to become a movie. The Jaromir Jagr bobblehead just debacle mystery. Obviously, once it gets solved and we figure out who these morons were, this needs to become a movie. Real quick, before we get into NCAA hockey, let's give some quick club hockey shout out. So Florida and Miami, the Gators and Miami both respectively in their AAU. Spencer hates the AAU. I am for all college hockey. They respectively won their national championships. So shout out to them. And then Adrian College.
Did you see the Miami comeback?
Yeah. Yeah. That was
Down like 5-1 and won 7-5 because of a 5-minute major.
No, that was different. That was a different team. That was Keene State. That was a Keene. Yeah, I had that
Miami
here
of
too.
Ohio.
Yeah, Miami of Ohio and Keene State. So I think that's the AAU D1. I think that would be the AAU D1, maybe. But yeah, so shout out to those.
Wild.
That, yeah, that's crazy. How now? Speaking of that, if you're the kid, so if anybody doesn't know, Keene State was playing Miami of Ohio club hockey. Keene State was up 5-1, with 2:47 left. They took a 5-minute major penalty. Which if you don't know hockey rules, or a Jed, was just based on the time left in the game, or a Mason from behind. But if the 5-minute major, you stay on the power play. So Miami of Ohio took a 5-minute major with 2 minutes and four, or Keene State did. Miami of Ohio took the power play with 2:47 left and won 7-5. Crazy.
Ridiculous.
It's crazy.
Five unanswered goals.
And
they pop the empty netter.
Yeah, yeah. Just, and if you watch the goals, it just looked like a complete defensive goaltender meltdown. Like the players on the ice could not get over the fact that this kid took that penalty. Now, if you're this kid, how do you feel? Like, what are your two, like, what do you do? Do you transfer? Do you come back? Like, if you're a senior, what a way to go out. What a way to go out. Tell people,
I can't
even
imagine how that kid felt. Like, he just had to feel like the smallest person in the world after that.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough. And then Adrian won D1. They're champs again. It just always seems to be Adrian, Minot, the same kind of. Now, shout out to Purdue Northwest, because they ran through a gauntlet. They were the 24 seed, and they ran through a gauntlet and ended up beating number 6 Maryville and going pretty far in the tournament. So shout out to them too. But yeah, Adrian ended up taking that one. So shout out to those teams. I know we missed some teams, but I don't like the ACHA Instagram is very, very terrible, and their website of uploading actual like real time results. So you got to go based on these other hockey kind of college Instagram accounts. So I'm going based on the information that I have off those accounts. I know there's some other teams that may have already won or in the process of winning. We will shout you out as soon as we have that information. Now, a little bit of NCAA. Now, Spencer, have you changed your mind? Do you think the AAU is good, or are you still, it just all still needs to be ACHA under one roof, or are you firm on that, or is it cool to kind of see these comebacks?
It all needs to be under one roof.
But you would, you,
it all
here's,
needs to be under one roof.
But let me say this. Let me say this. Hold on. Let me say this. if it's all under one roof, you don't get the 7-5 comeback. What's your take on that?
You still might. Just no. Because, I mean, you're still going to get exciting games. It just.
But you're not going to get that specific situation. You're not going to get that specific situation.
I don't care what you say. I want it under one roof, and that's it.
Okay, Spencer's sticking. Spencer's going to die on this hill.
Put my foot down.
He's going to die on this hill. Now, NCAA hockey. We are into the conference tournaments, and we're into the semifinals. So for the Atlantic, and this kind of determines who goes to the tournament and who doesn't, and seeding, all that good stuff. So the Atlantic, the semifinals is AIC at Holy Cross and Niagara at RIT, which RIT is always one of those teams that sneaks in the tournament and fucking upsets somebody every single first round. It's just like you always see RIT beat somebody, and you're like, God damn it, RIT, you fucked my bracket up already.
They're always kind of sneaky.
The Big Ten semifinals, Ohio State at number one, Michigan State. So the potential big upset there. And then Michigan at Minnesota. That's a fun game. Michigan is not, Michigan's not really what they were as far as when they had all these, the Hughes brothers and all these draft picks and Fantilli, but they're still good. So that'll be a fun game. The CCHA, which is a fun, great, fun conference. Semifinals are Lake Superior State at Bemidji State. I love it when teams like this are involved. Lake Superior State, great jerseys, baby blue, yellow jerseys. Bemidji State, when we were kind of in high school, Bemidji State was a great, like they were going to Frozen Fours and like that. Like it's fun to see teams like that back in the mix for at least for their conferences. Minnesota State, Michigan Tech is the other semifinal in that. And then the ECAC. So that will be semifinals. It will be they're still in the quarterfinals. So it's RPI at number one, Quinnipiac, Harvard at number two, Cornell, and St. Lawrence at number three, Colgate, and Union at Dartmouth. So just a whole lot of smart guys playing hockey against each other.
That's the nerd conference.
That's the nerd guy. Yeah, the nerd conference. Most of those guys will become engineers and do much, much greater things than play low levels of pro hockey. Shout out to the Nerd Conference. They're in the quarterfinals. The Hockey East, we have still in their quarterfinals, we have UMass at Providence, UConn at Boston College, Northeastern at Boston University, and New Hampshire at Maine. UNH at Maine is kind of a fun series. I like that matchup.
I kind of want to catch those.
Yeah. I like that matchup. Those are fun matchups. And then also in their quarterfinals, the NCHC, which is Miami at number one, which Miami of Ohio, obviously at number one, North Dakota, Minnesota Duluth at Denver, Western Michigan at St. Cloud State, which is a fun, I like the randomness of that. And then Omaha at Colorado College, which that's cool because I saw Colorado College play this year and they're a good team. So that'll be a good matchup. They have a potential to go to make the tournament and do pretty decent. They're a sneaky good team. So be on the lookout for those games. Pretty short podcast, but I don't really have anything else. I don't mind little short snippets, little short pods here and there when it's just me and you. Do you have anything?
I'm going to put you on the spot. Pick your Eastern and Western Conference final right now. As of today.
Do we know who would play? Let me look at the potential matchups. Nope. But I don't want to pick two teams who can't potentially play each other.
Now you're making it too difficult.
Okay, fine.
On the spot.
All right, on the spot. Vancouver, Dallas. There's Western. And then Eastern, I will go Florida, Carolina. I'll go Stanley Cup, Carolina, Dallas.
God, the NHL would hate that.
There's my on the spot. There's Vancouver, Dallas, and I don't even know if those matchups could potentially happen because you wouldn't let me look. So just off the top of my head, Vancouver, Dallas, Carolina, Florida. Carolina takes Florida in seven. Dallas takes Vancouver in seven, and then we get a Dallas, Carolina, which I will be unbiased in that. I think I'm heartbroken at the end of that series.
Yeah, I don't think you guys make it. I think Colorado, Vegas, and then Florida, Carolina.
Stanley Cup, who?
Colorado, Carolina. No, Colorado, Florida.
Who wins?
Florida.
Florida.
Well, I was going to say Colorado chokes, but then I was just going to say Florida wins.
I see, this is going to be one, like I think we said this earlier, this is going to be one of those playoffs where no matter who comes out of whatever, it's going to be like, okay, I could see that. There's not like one crazy, like, unless like Detroit, because Detroit's struggling right now. They're on a 6-game losing streak and they're kind of, they need to pick it up. But it's like, these top teams are the top teams, and I think they're going to be the top team. So whichever one of those teams comes out of each conference, it's not going to be very surprising. It's going to be like, okay, that I could see that. So it really wouldn't matter who we said, to be honest with you, unless you fucking said Detroit like is going to win the Stanley Cup. That's knucking futs. That's knucking futs. But yeah, so it's all kind of a wash as far as who comes out of those. But yeah, I hope it's my team. We hope. I just, Carolina's just good. I think they're going to get over that hump from last year. And I say that New York will probably sweep them. So
yeah, who fucking about the Rangers?
That's the thing. We both just slept on the Rangers.
Oh no, I stand by my picks, but don't forget about the Rangers.
No, I stand by mine. But yeah, that's the crazy thing. So I mean, that's the pod. I don't have anything else. I mean, you put me on the spot, and there's your answers. So, hold on. I need to say this. I went to El Paso. As I get older, I've realized one thing. I am good at history. I am terrible with geography. So I went to El Paso for a roller hockey tournament. Did you know there's like El Paso is like the mountains?
I guess not
small mountains, like big fucking mountains.
Yeah, no, I guess I didn't know that. It was on the border.
So you know the vibe of like anywhere in Colorado, you come out of a back porch and you're like looking at mountains if you're facing west?
Yeah.
That's the same for El Paso, just no snow, just big, like, brown, green mountains.
Yeah, that doesn't comprehend to me.
It's very, very wild. Now, here's the other crazy thing. So, weed is legal in New Mexico, right? But it's not in Texas, right? But there's this little corner of El Paso and New Mexico and Mexico where you can go buy legal weed in New Mexico. And you can look one way and see the border fence and then look the other way and you throw a rock across the train tracks and you're back in El Paso in Texas.
Money and laws are stupid.
It's like this weird little like 1 foot here and you're here, 1 foot here and you're here, 1 foot here and you're here. It is wild. Oh, also
strange.
Also the wild thing, driving through El Paso, I drove basically 10 feet away from the border fence. How anybody scales, I know they do it in different parts, clearly not doing it there. How anybody would scale that fucking thing is insane. It's so fucking tall, and like the way it's engineered, like built, you would have to like do a parkour, like little like bungee cord hop. And then once you get over the other side, there's 8,000 things of barbed wire. So I don't know, like, yeah, there's obviously there's gaps and there's like whatever, like that's there's certain places people do it. But I was like looking at the fence. A, it's crazy just looking at the fence being that close, going like I could throw a baseball over to somebody in Mexico, have them catch it and throw it back to me. Like I could play catch with just a, you know what I mean? Like it's just like, it was just weird. And then just looking at the fence itself being like, so that's the fence. Like, it's kind of, and then you look ahead, like I said, and there's just fucking giant mountains in front of you. Not my entire point. So I went for a roller hockey tournament. We played the University of Chihuahua. I told you this. We beat the University of Chihuahua. Just funny playing the University of Chihuahua roller hockey team. And just them being called the University, just the fact that there's a city and the name University of Chihuahua. It's just funny. Decent roller team. One really good player. Kind of a nutcase. Needs to be more positive. If he had more positivity, he'd be better. And just the overall.
Why don't you go teach him?
Overall, I did have a stingy moment. We'll get into that. Overall, a really good, fun, big tournament. One of the nicest roller rinks, as weird as this sounds, I've ever been to. It is like, it's a full ice sheet roller rink. So it's a full size roller rink. Like, it is big and it's super nice. It's been there since 2006. I was talking to somebody and they've done a really, really good job keeping it up. Tobin's Nations Park is what it's called in El Paso. So a great, great spot. But anyways, we swept round robin, but there's a local team that a couple of the guys actually play for the team that I played for in other tournaments, right? But them being local and the tournament being there, they put together their own little local team. Good hockey players, good roller players, older veterans, but the guys that know how to play the game of roller and who have been playing it for a very long time. So as slow in foot as they are, they make up for with stick work and things like that. So credit to them as far as being a good team. But fuck those refs, because I have never been bent over so fucking hard in a championship game in my fucking life, or in at least a very, very long fucking time. It was insane. And it was such bullshit, because it took away from the fun of the overall tournament, because it was one of those cases of friends of guys reffing guys that they play with every day and every weekend.
Oh, yeah.
It sucks, because it shouldn't be like that. And it's no fault to the guys on the other team. They're going to play the game the way the refs are calling it, just like we have to play the game the refs are calling it. So it's not like if we were getting the calls, I'm going to skate up to the refs and be like, hey, man, I know you're giving them to us, but these are really bad calls. Like, who the fuck would say that? So it's not their fault. But just the fact that you get all the way to the championship game, this is your sixth hockey game in 48 hours, and you're playing a good team that you're still very – like, you beat them in overtime in round robin, which, to be honest, it shouldn't have gone to overtime. So you know you're the better team, and just to be – just every time you make a little step forward, it's like the whistle goes off and you're like, what fucking now? You know what I mean? It's just one of those. And it's like shit that, it is. And it's shit that's like super blatantly like, what the fuck was that? Like, really? Like, that's what we're doing in all weekend. We didn't do this, but now in the championship game with the local team, now we're doing this type of shit. So I just wanted to non shout out those refs, shout out the tournament, non shout out the refs. Fuck you. Now for my stench moment. I wasn't going to say anything. I was pissed. I wasn't going to say a word. I wasn't going to yell or whatever, 'cause it's just a bad look, especially in a roller tournament, 'cause the rink is louder and it's not as many people or whatever. So I went through the handshake line. Fine. I shook everybody's hand. What got me and where the wires crossed was when I looked over and multiple of their players were like double, basically fingering the ref in the butt as they were shaking their hand going, thank you so much for being here. And I was like, fuck you. I was like, fuck you. And I lost it. And I was like, thank you for fucking me. But I had a little moment after I said, it's just hard knowing you got fucked by something like that. And then seeing the people fuck you, like say thank you to like, and it's just like, fuck you, man. Like I hate that shit. So of course I had to take the second place picture mad. But I did tell the boys I looked into BetterHelp and I think it's covered by my insurance. So I'm not going to do it, but we'll see. I probably do. I mean, if they sponsor the podcast, I will 100%. But that's a shout out to the tournament in El Paso. It was a good time. Very, very nice rink. Nations Tobin Park, I believe, is the name of the rink. It's run by the city, so they do a fantastic job there. Shout out to them. Great tournament. Roller season is in full effect. We're pretty much full in roller. I got one more ice exhibition with the Israeli team in Colorado next month, and then after that it's pretty much just roller hockey. So we're in the full golf roller hockey swing, and I can't be more happy. So it's about 80 degrees. Complain. So you playing soon?
70.
Are you swinging soon?
I was going to try and play this weekend, but I think everybody saw the weather, so there wasn't a tee time to be found. So I might sneak out, but we'll see.
Yeah, I was going to try to play tomorrow. We'll see. But as a single, I got to just walk up and get on the list. So we'll see how that goes. But all right, buddy, that's a good pod. Good impromptu pod. So yeah, we'll see you later.
Peace.